What's up, guys? It's Justin from Elite Life Nutrition, and you're listening to the Elite Life Podcast. In today's episode, I want to talk about something, a technique that's been around for 100 years, actually, that can actually help you overcome fear and also how it can be applied to other parts of your life and really is a metaphor in a lot of ways for how to traverse life and how to get better at certain things, skills, techniques, anything really that you want to develop and work on and improve in your life. This technique is a metaphor for it. But real quickly, elitelifenutrition.com is the place to check out all our incredible supplements, vitamins, herbs, minerals, etc. We have the best in the game when it comes to natural products. So elitelifenutrition.com is the number one place to go. That's it for announcements. I just want to say it's been about a week and a half since I've been on here. I've been really super busy, so I apologize for it. And I'm meaning to get more consistent with the podcast, but I just fell a little behind and a couple of the interviews got rescheduled. So here we are. And there will be upcoming interviews. We do have them in the book, so they are coming up. Don't worry about it. We're not going anywhere. It's just been a hectic past couple of weeks for me, just business-wise and in my personal life, just a lot of things going on. So here we are, though. Here we are back on the mic, back on the show today. Really pumped for this episode. And so in 1924... there was a woman by the name of Mary Culver Jones. She is essentially known as the mother of behavioral therapy. There was a laporophobic boy who came across Mary Jones's presence. So laporophobic means scared of rabbits, of all things, right? So there was a boy, little three-year-old boy, he was scared of rabbits, and his parents brought him to Mary Culver Jones, who was a therapist at the time. And she essentially thought of this novel idea, which is not novel in this day and age, 100 years later. It's actually very common and probably something you've heard of in some sense, one way or the other. But they bring her to Culver Jones, and she tries this new technique at the time, which is essentially conditioning this boy, the scared little three-year-old boy, to gradually become less and less fearful of the rabbits. And it actually, what she ends up creating over her experimentation at the time is something called exposure therapy. And exposure therapy is interesting because, again, it was created 100 years ago, 1924, and is still very much effective today. Like, it is one of the best ways to overcome any type of fear, whether it be, you know, rabbits, whether it be snakes, whether it be swimming, whether it be playing a sport, whether it be fighting, getting into a fist fight. There's so many different avenues where exposure therapy can be very effective. And the beauty of it is really in the controlled environment of it. So rather than just throwing yourself into the fire and, you know, or like a sink or swim type of thing, which there's, you know, other schools of thought that that might be a right approach, but not, and many people that isn't the right approach, and it actually creates an even bigger phobia, an even bigger fear, which turns into a phobia, a lifelong phobia, and then a resentment and, you know, the ability to not perform or even want to do said task, event, skill, etc. And so exposure therapy usually seems to be the much safer and in the overall approach of things, the much more effective way to do things. So exposure therapy, you know, although it is 100 years old, has basically the tried and true method. And it's really cool when it comes to different traumas, when it comes to fears, phobias, the fact that when you are in a controlled environment, you gradually, so you start off very small with, like, you know, the most innocuous stimuli, and slowly when you see that the patient or, you know, whatever person, individual is trying to get relieved of their fear, when you see that they're okay with that one innocuous, very safe stimuli, you gradually bring it up to the next step. And then when they pass that task, you bring it up to one step more, and so on and so forth, until eventually, you know, in this case with the three-year-old boy, he's able to pet the rabbit. He's able to play with the rabbit. He all, you know, like many little kids, he falls in love, and he's able to, you know, have rabbits as pets, and he loves them now. And so the same thing can be said with anything, though. If you're swimming, if you're deathly afraid of the water, you know, you don't want to just jump right in most cases, especially as an adult. I mean, sink or swim is more probably effective when you're younger and you don't have all these, you know, fears and racing thoughts going through your mind. But as an adult, you know, you dip your toe in the water, and then when you're okay with that, you know, put it to your knees. And then when you're okay with that step, you go to your waist. And when you're okay with that, you can, you know, go up to your chest, and then maybe you float in, you know, 3 foot tall pool. And then after that, you know, it's just like gradually a very calming, easy task. And once you're able to perform that, sooner or later, you get to a point where you're able to actually swim and do the end goal. And it's funny, though, because this technique was very novel 100 years ago. It was just basically like, let's see this thing, let's try it out, see if it works. And it was incredibly effective. But new research, actually, by a guy named Dr. Johannes Graf, his team a couple of years back, maybe 3-4 years ago, 5 years ago, maybe something like that. But his team actually did a bunch of research on mice, and they studied the brains of mice and the neuronal activity and how, you know, there's neurons coming together and how they're firing, how they're creating new synapses and new connections, and how the brain neuroplasticity works. And so all of the new research is actually proving what Cover Jones did 100 years ago. But on top of that, it's getting a little more detailed into how it works. And the scientists like Johannes Graf have been able to discover that the brain is constantly changing. The brain is constantly rewiring. The neurons are constantly firing. And in situations like this, in particular, when there's a fear involved, there's certain neurons that come together. Not even actually in just a fear specifically, but in the case where they were studying the mice, it was for fear-related purposes. But in general, neurons are always coming together, and they believe when there's a pattern of the neurons coming together, it's essentially the physiological blueprint of what a memory looks like. So that's really what a fear is. It's a memory of something that happened in the past. You know, again, whether it be something like the rabbit bit the kid when he was 2.5, or you thought you were going to drown when you were in the pool when you were a teenager, or, you know, you saw somebody get beat up and then you were deathly afraid to get in a fight with somebody else as, you know, a kid, and, you know, you were always scared of getting into fist fights. But in the brain, this collection, this congregation of neurons that come together and fire, they've actually been able to pinpoint what that looks like, and they call it engrams. So the word for that is engrams, when these neurons come together to essentially form what we call a memory. Like, what a memory would look like in the brain is this collection of neurons that come together and fire when a memory is thought of in the brain. And the cool thing is, when this is happening, there's a purgatory window of sorts. So when the neurons are coming together and that engram is forming, there's a certain, very small window, but a certain period of time when change can take place. And that's really what the exposure therapy was doing, was bringing this memory together, albeit in a calm, controlled way, of that event from the past, but then allowing that change to happen when the boy, or, you know, in Cover Jones's case, or again, in the many other multiple cases of this working, when it's in that controlled environment, because that person is okay, because they realize everything's fine, their body calms down. You know, the GABA neurotransmitters are firing, the relaxation neurotransmitters are going off in the brain, glycine, serotonin, etc., and calming the body down. And in that moment, when all the good chemicals are going off, those engrams form a new memory, and that new memory is a favorable one that can get over the fear from the old memory, the old engram forming, which was a fear-inducing one that had all the, you know, bad neurochemicals going off, the excitatory neurochemicals, the fear-inducing ones, the cortisol, the norepinephrine, the epinephrine, etc. When the brain is in fight or flight mode, those are the ones that fire. But if you have this exposure therapy and you gradually build yourself up, like I mentioned before, you're actually able to create these new engrams that are favorable ones, that are relaxing, calming, peaceful, or at least non-fearful, like neutral neurons that are just, you know, whatever. It's a snake. I don't love snakes, but you know, it's a snake, whatever. Oh, you know, it's a swimming pool. I'm not the, you know, greatest swimmer in the world. I don't love the water like Michael Phelps, but I can jump in and swim around a little bit if I want to. It's like, it's a very beautiful thing when you're able to actually make these big changes. And again, it takes a little bit of time. It's not like an overnight thing, but if you can gradually get to that point, it's a beautiful thing when you can change certain aspects of your life, especially things that have lasted many, many years because of this debilitating fear that you've had. And science is just proving exactly what, you know, Cover Jones proved 100 years ago in her very rudimentary thesis of how things would work, her hypothesis of what would work if she did it. I mean, it's kind of a common sense type of idea, but it wasn't so common back then. And even still now, a lot of people don't realize how effective it is, but it's very effective. And that's because the brain is constantly firing and rewiring itself. And when you do things in that controlled manner, you can actually rewire it favorably to then get over whatever it is you're trying to get over. So it's really cool. And that is just, obviously, we're talking about fear here. We're talking about phobias. But that really is a metaphor for life itself. When you're able to do things conditionally and gradually build yourself up, there's really not much you can accomplish. That's really how goals are formed. That's really how you know, reach your goals in life, is gradually getting one thing done after the other after another. And then one day you look up and it's like, you know, that goal that I had that was a mountain a couple of years ago, I'm now standing at the top of that mountain and I've done those things I wanted to do. It wasn't like I just shot up, you know, on a rocket ship to the top of the mountain, but day by day, step at a time, step one step after the next, all of a sudden you look up one day and you're there. And it's a really incredible feeling. But that's it for today, guys. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Again, we will be back very soon with the interviews. Next week, we're going to be back doing a lot more podcasts, so stay tuned. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure you subscribe to our channel. We're going to be putting out a lot more content on YouTube as well as TikTok. Make sure you follow us on TikTok. We've got a lot of shorts going on at TikTok as well. But that's it for today. Hope you enjoyed this. Take care, and I'll talk to you guys soon.